Hi, I'm Ben Groundwater, and you're listening to Flight of Fancy, the traveller.com.au podcast. Now, before our last recording on Japan, I opened up to listeners to send in some of their questions on this amazing country, and we got so many that we've had to make a whole extra episode out of it. So what you hear now is some of your questions on what fascinates you about Japan. So the first one is from a guy called Dave Hackett, who asks, what is your favourite relatively unknown destination in Japan?
It's not unknown, but it's relatively unvisited, because people tend to go to Japan because they want Japan. You know, they want a geisha or a maiko, and they want a tea ceremony and a temple. They don't want ice cream and beaches and hamburgers down in Okinawa, but I think Okinawa is the best place to go in Japan. I absolutely love it. I mean, and
the best. That's a big call.
Yeah, I mean, it's when I was living in Japan, the one place I always went every year, multiple times a year, was Okinawa. You know, I've been literally from the top of Hokkaido to the bottom of Okinawa, all the way through Japan, and there are some absolutely spectacular places. But the one that is different from every other one, and the one that I always have the most fun visiting, is always Okinawa.
Right. So there's a sort of a mix of American culture there as well, is there?
Because it's kind of a mix of Southeast Asian, Chinese, Japanese, and American.
Right.
And it just really works. You know, Okinawa has not been part of Japan for very long. Before that, it was part of China. Before that, it was its own kingdom. Before that, it was all kinds of other things. It had long-standing millennia of trade with Indonesia, and Okinawa's dish, Goya Champuru, is actually comes from the Indonesian word for a mixture, champur.
Right.
So if you ever have nasi campur or something in Indonesia, Goya Champuru is kind of the Okinawan version of that. And the food is spectacular, the scenery is spectacular, the scuba diving is spectacular, the pace of life is exactly what you want for a getaway. You know, it's always hard to recommend it as somewhere to go, because if you're, say, spending 7 nights in Tokyo and then you want 3 days in Kyoto or something, it's very hard to say, well, actually, why don't you go down to Okinawa for a week,
you know,
instead.
Yeah.
So it's definitely not somewhere to go on your first visit to Japan, I think, but if you're ever there for an appreciable amount of time, I definitely think it's worth a visit.
Right. What about you, Nina?
Well, I'm sticking with Hokkaido.
Right.
Because I just loved it so much. And, I mean, you also have things like, their sulfur mountain with, you know, there's just this sulfur clouds coming out of it, and the rock has been turned this neon yellow. So those sorts of really beautiful natural phenomena.
For me, it's like, obviously, Tokyo is one of the most visited tourism destinations in the world, but the unknown parts are the little small neighbourhoods, like, you know, places like Shimokitazawa and Kyonji and Yoyogi Urehara. These are like little neighbourhoods that are very close to the big, huge hubs like Shibuya and Shinjuku, but you could spend months and months and months just, you know, basing yourself in another little neighbourhood and exploring its great restaurants and its great bars and its own little personality.
Yes.
There's just so much to explore there. And
yeah, and that's an interesting thought. I mean, if someone's going to Tokyo for the first time, would you say to them, try and get around to everywhere and see everything? Or would you say,
that's actually
pick
a mistake. Yeah, that's a mistake I've made. Last time I was there with my girlfriend, we're both extremely into food, and we had this huge, big list of all the restaurants we wanted to hit. And we had it planned out. We were like, breakfast here, lunch here, dinner here. And they were all on different sides of the city, and we spent so much time sitting in trains.
Yeah.
And you know, we had some amazing food, but also I thought we should have just, you know, stuck to one part of the city and come back and do another part another time.
Yeah.
It's a fun city to explore, and you don't want to you can guarantee if you're on your way to a great restaurant, you're missing five others that you're passing on the way there. And there's so much that you can do in Tokyo completely unplanned. I think it's always a bit of a shame to plan too much of a trip to Tokyo. I tend to say to people, pick two restaurants that you want to go to, then have a couple of ideas of places that you might want to go to if you're in a particular area at a loose end, and limit it to that, and then just spend the rest of your time just sort of whatever you come across.
Yeah, I think that's excellent advice. You're listening to Flight of Fancy. If you're enjoying the podcast, you can find stories by our guests and other great writers at traveller.com.au. Now, we've got another listener question from Steph King, who asks, I'd love to know where the good veggie restaurants are in Tokyo, and I think good veggie restaurants in Japan in general, because it can be quite hard as a vegetarian, I think.
It definitely can. In Tokyo, you're not going to have too much problem. Mm-hmm. There's a pretty strong vegetarian movement. Doesn't get too far outside of Tokyo, but within right. Tokyo, the days as recently as 10, 15 years ago where vegetarian meant you can still eat ham and chicken stock yeah. and dashi, bonito flakes yeah. and dashi and that kind of thing. Still exist, obviously. The change doesn't happen that fast, but that was what vegetarian meant 15 years ago in Japan. Mm-hmm. These days, you have a lot of vegan food. There was, again, 15 years ago, one vegetarian restaurant of any note called Good Honest Grub in Harajuku that pretty much any vegetarian usually Western extraction would be found of a weekend. Mm-hmm. But these days you can get vegetarian versions of pretty much anything you can have.
There's a ramen chain called Afuri which does a vegan ramen.
They do a vegan ramen with konnyaku noodles now, mm-hmm. Which they didn't do, again, as recently as 5 years ago. There's other specifically vegan ramen restaurants, there's vegan sushi places that just do vegetable nigiri. Obviously vegetarian shojin ryori, which is a temple cuisine restaurant that is a vegetarian anyway. You can order a vegetarian course at a tempura place because tempura historically has been always vegetarian and seafood being added to it is only something very recent. So it's pretty easy in Tokyo these days to eat vegetarian. And when you get out off the beaten track a little bit, convenience stores tend to be the best place to ensure, if you are strict on veganism or vegetarianism, that they are tend to be the best places where you can ensure that your food is not going to have any dashi in it or use any non-vegetarian sources.
Right, okay.
Yeah, if you're a vegetarian, inverted commas, that eats seafood, you're going to have the time of your life.
Right.
Because meat is fairly hard to come by in some places.
Right.
Seafood is definitely your main game when you're going to Japan. But if you are a strict vegetarian or vegan that doesn't eat any seafood or stocks, then you're starting to get into trouble.
Right, okay.
And you don't get to try the ice cream, which would be terrible.
Yes.
Yeah. On that, the next question is from a guy called Dave Nematella, who asks, Adam, what's the most unusual Japanese dish that you would go out of your way to get hold of in Japan?
Yikes. Oh, the most unusual Japanese dish. There aren't too many that I would consider strange or unusual. Japanese mm-hmm. food is surprisingly very simple. There are lots of regional specialties, and I think if
is there something that you would travel just to eat?
Oh, taco rice in Okinawa, that kind of thing. or rafute, or Okinawa soba, soki soba. You know, the pork trotters in soup down in Okinawa. I, as you can tell, I kind of love Okinawan food.
I'm getting that impression. Yeah,
but there are so many regional specialties in Japan that you just want to try whatever it is that is the most famous or second most famous or third most famous regional specialty of anywhere you go. So, you know, I travel to Kanazawa a lot and I like a particular duck dish there called jibuni. Can be made with other things as well, but duck is kind of the most popular. Also, in terms of seafood, the seasonality of particular types of seafood, so noriguro, the black throat perch that you mm-hmm. get, particularly in the seas off the west of Japan, when that comes into season, that can be definitely worth traveling for.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people from outside Japan, particularly from China and Hong Kong, will travel to specific parts of Hokkaido for particular crabs coming into season. There are four main varieties of crab in Hokkaido, and they all kind of come out at different times of the year.
That's something that Australians really have to get used to, isn't it? The seasonality and the kind of intense locality of these things, that you really have to be in one spot at one time of year to be able to get something.
Absolutely.
And also I think the grades of things. Like I was sort of at one of the fish markets and looking at the price of this piece of sashimi, and I couldn't believe it. I thought, you know, whatever it was, $15 for this piece of sashimi. And I was sort of wondering how on earth it could have been that price. And then they were explaining, well, you know, that's the highest grade. And then over there, you know, you can get the $7 piece. And over there, you can get the $3 piece,
right.
You know, so which I think is amazing because, of course, then it's up to you and your budget and your tastes and all of that. But, yeah,
right.
So that's another thing I think to keep in mind.
For sure.
Mm.
If you'd like to read stories from me or any of the team on Flight of Fancy, you can check them out at traveller.com.au. We'll see you next time.